With vision loss, getting ready for that plane trip might involve thinking about a few extra things besides what to pack in your suitcase. In this episode, James Ashworth, Vice President of Customer Care for Southwest Airlines, joins us to share some tips. I'm Ricky Anger, and this is Hadley Presents. It is summertime as I record this intro. And while I don't think that there is one specific time when everyone takes a vacation, I do feel like summer is a really common time for people to do it. We're all heading out to see friends and family, or maybe there's just a cool new location away from home that we want to go spend some time at. And of course, to get there, we got to fly. I think there's a lot of logistics that people may just not really know how to think through when it comes to traveling with vision loss. And when we recorded with our guest, James Ashworth, a little while back, he shared some amazing tips and tricks. So while this episode was recorded a couple of years ago, everything here is still very much applicable. And I hope that it helps you in whatever journey you're taking. So let's hear from James. Welcome to the show, James. I'm so happy to have you here.
Ricky, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yes, me as well. So this is a question that comes up a lot when we talk with people here at Hadley. And a lot of times people will share tips and tricks, but they also come in with those questions of, you know, I'm thinking about taking a trip, but I'm a little apprehensive. There's a lot I don't know. So I am delighted to have you here to discuss those things. So before we jump into those questions and tips and tricks, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do at Southwest?
Sure, be glad to. As you stated, my name is James Ashworth. I have the fortunate opportunity to serve as Vice President of Customer Care for a great airline called Southwest Airlines. Customer care is primarily responsible for all inbound, outbound customer communication. Think about things like social and email and phone calls and chats. The teams that I support, those are the teams that you'd be talking to and interacting with if you were to fly and communicate with Southwest Airlines. I've been in the industry for more years than I want to account for, but it's been 3 decades. Ricky, that I've been in the industry. And so I know a little bit about airports and would love to talk about, you know, the different airports and navigating them. And I was also diagnosed with macular degeneration. So I not only have a little bit of experience from the airline industry, but I've also experienced vision loss and navigating travel because I traveled a lot for my career. So I think we can have a really good discussion today and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, I imagine you have indeed traveled a lot. There are probably certain airports that you could tell many a story about because you've been in them quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I think knowledge is power. And a lot of times when we are stressed out about something, it's because we don't know how we're going to get through it. There's not those little tips and tricks. And we're thinking, well, I have to figure it out on my own and I'm going to have to think on my feet and things like that. But if we know some of these things ahead of time, that makes the whole process a little easier because at least we have some idea of what to expect. So that's kind of what I hope to do with this conversation here. So I want to just go through some of these common things that people have to think through when they're figuring out, okay, I'm ready to jump on a plane. What do I need to know? So I guess the first part of that is before you can go somewhere, before they let you on the plane, you've got to have a ticket to be there. So what are some ways that people may think about this a little differently with vision loss?
Yeah, great question. I think there's two things that I believe. I believe education and experience will build confidence. So when you enter the airport, you're entering the airport itself. And so they have employees that work for the airport. Then you have to go through security with TSA and you're inside the airport. And then you're in the care of the particular airline that operates out of those airports. So you have multiple entities. and most airlines has a toll-free number that you can reach out to when you're inspired to travel, and you can call to book, or you can go to their website. And from my experience, most carriers have very accessible websites as well. So I always think that to get started, you want to educate yourself on the airline that you're going to travel on, understand, you know, what are the rules and regulations around a particular airport. When I talk about this with audiences, I also encourage audiences to get familiar with the airport itself's website, because there could sometimes be construction happening at airports, and you'll want to understand that as you navigate your way into and through an airport.
Absolutely. I know that my home airport, the Charlotte Airport, they seem to have been under construction for probably the last 3 or 4 years. And so it's been a matter of figuring out, okay, which terminal is going to have issues this time around. But you bring up a couple of really interesting points. So if you want to talk to a human, give the airline a call, and they'll be able to help you book. Or if you're comfortable with your assistive technology, you don't have to worry so much, because so many of these airline websites are accessible. You don't have to worry so much about, is my screen reader going to work with this, or my contrast settings going to work with this? Generally, they do. But this planning ahead thing, so that kind of goes quite nicely into my next question, which is, you know, once that ticket has been purchased, what are some things to think about as you're planning ahead before you ever leave the house? And one of those is that getting familiar with the airline's website and seeing what construction there is, et cetera. Are there other things that people can do before they step foot inside that airport just to get an idea of what's there or what they might need to think about?
Yeah, I think so. In addition to, just checking out the airport itself's website, understand what gates you're going to and the different terminals that exist in certain airports. And you have larger airports and you have smaller airports. So being very familiar with the footprints and individual airport, I think, is really, really key. Most of the airlines, Southwest included, when you book your flight, you have the option to sign up for notifications related to delays or cancels. If that option is available to you on the particular airline that you're on, I would absolutely encourage listeners to do that and as a first prep. That way, if anything happens with your flight, you'll be notified via the channel that you would prefer, if that's email or text or in some cases a phone call. Would absolutely encourage listeners to sign up for notifications so that you can stay informed. Beyond that, I think you want to look at both sides of your travel as well, not just getting to the airport that you're flying into, but you want to get familiar with the airport that you're leaving from. So you want to, ends is what I'm trying to say. You want to make sure you understand both airports. And then if you have connections and you have an airport in the middle, you'll want to make sure you understand that as well. Is your airplane coming into one terminal and perhaps your second leg is leaving out of another terminal, depending on the airport? You want to be very familiar with that. And then once you're inside the airport, I always recommend talking to airport personnel. We train our employees to care for customers. I believe most airlines do. I don't fly them all, but when I have most airline employees really take the customer's care seriously. And so I think it's important when you get to the airport to connect with them.
Yeah, so many great points there. And just thinking about, if you are accustomed to looking up at that gate notice or those announcements that happen, and sometimes they only happen on the big screens and such, and maybe you've traveled and you're accustomed to doing that, now signing up for those notifications that are outside the screen that you can't see anymore is such a good idea. And getting from terminal to terminal, I know, can be quite a chore. For example, I always think about the Atlanta airport. They have the plane train where you get on it to go from terminal to terminal. And just knowing that you have to do that ahead of time, you can kind of prepare yourself. Okay, I know I'm going to have to jump on this thing and get to the next terminal. And as you said, talking to the employees of the airport, that's what they're there for. So knowing that it's not just you alone, there are people around you who can help, I think that's a wonderful thing.
I also think each airline has their own individual app. So I'd also say have your technology ready. For me personally, what a couple of pieces of technology that I use that are helpful for me when I'm traveling in and around the city and through airports, I think about things like Aira, Seeing AI, or Be My Eyes. Those are pieces of technology that help me navigate. And so the airline itself's app, having that downloaded, and then having those pieces of technology to help you navigate the signs and the screens at the airport, maybe concessions and those types of things. I think those are also really good things to have, you know, ready and available long before you head to an airport.
Yeah, because it could turn out that you don't need that at all. Perhaps you have asked an airline employee for assistance and they get you through TSA or get you to your gate or what have you. But if there is a piece of technology that can assist you, better to have it all installed and ready to go than to be standing there in the middle of the airport trying to fiddle with it and get it going. What are some ways that you use these apps that are taking advantage of the camera on your phone? So we've got a lot of them, like you said, Seeing AI, where it can pick up on that printed text that's around you, or Be My Eyes, where you can call a volunteer and they look through the camera, or there's Aira, where you can call a trained agent and they can help you navigate. I know for me, when I get to the airport, there was nothing so freeing for me as walking from the airport doors all the way through to the gate independently without a human guide or, you know, someone from the airport assisting me, as great as they are at that. It was nice to be able to just stroll at my pace and do it. And I did that using Aira, connecting to a human on the other end who's looking through my camera and giving me some directions. Do you use that to find food, or do you use Be My Eyes for things? How do you do that?
Yes, I mostly use a combination of Seeing AI and Aira. I like talking to a human and being able to communicate and navigate. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of airports that I'm very familiar with where I fly in and out of regularly, where I have family, where we have, you know, work responsibilities. Those airports become easier and easier to navigate the more that I get in and out of them. But when I'm in a new airport, I know that airports have ground transportation. I know that they have concessions, and I know they have signage for most of those things. Seeing AI doesn't get me what I need, because I do want to be a little more independent versus having to utilize somebody, then I'll utilize an Aira. In most cases, I can navigate for concessions and finding food and reading menus. And, you know, the concession stands are another entity. I talked about the three different entities that run airports, but then the different vendors are each individually separate and don't operate the same. And so use them to navigate either to a concessions, right, you know, a concession stand. And then once I'm there, I may jump off of Aira and then use Seeing AI to read the menu. Those are some of the ways that I use it. It's also extremely helpful for me when I'm looking for an Uber or any rideshare service. I will typically utilize Aira because I want to make sure I'm getting in and out of the right vehicle. And I'll share with them what my vehicle is, and then they'll help me navigate that way. And for that, I prefer Aira.
That makes sense. And what if someone doesn't have a smartphone or they're not super comfortable using it yet? Are there particular segments of airline employees who will assist someone from, say, the TSA to the gate? Or does that work differently for each airline? I know that, you know, when I travel, it's usually someone who has been contracted by the airport, but who is outside the airline who will do that. So is that the same across the board?
I won't say it's the same across the board. I will say it is most common.
Gotcha.
Because every airport, you know, operates somewhat independently. But most airline employees, the obviously Southwest for sure, and then the airlines that I've flown, they will help you navigate getting in and out of the airport. But basically what you do is you let them know if you have accessibility needs, so the personnel at the airline will be aware of what your accessibility is, and then they would know when James Ashworth walks up and checks in, they can look at the PNR and know, hey, you know, there's an accessibility need. They can ask you what services you might need or what help you might need getting around the airport.
That's great. We talked about getting to the airport and to your plane and such, and presumably you're traveling with some kind of bag. Maybe it's a carry-on, or maybe you've done checked baggage. Do you have any thoughts, whether they are technical in nature or not, about how people can find their bag once it's time to grab it?
Yeah. You know, this is where I can get real creative. You can use tactile markers on your particular bag. If you check a bag, depending on your level of vision, you can use color striping. I've seen that done before. Those are what I'd call, you know, non-technical, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some more advanced things that you can do, like air tags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently, I've talked to individuals and I have an air tag inside my bag if I have to check it. But air tags are easy to help you locate. And there's other pieces of technology that you could stick in your bag that you can use apps on your phone to signal an audible alert inside your bag to help you locate it.
Yes, I have one called Tile. It's really pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So and that's not, you know, that's one piece of technology. It's low tech technology, but it is helpful. And I think there's many others out there. And so doing a little bit of research online to find, you know, things like Tile or comparable products or air tags or comparable products, I think it'd be really key. And then drop those in your bag and have a little bit of confidence. I'll give you a quick story. The air tag is pretty interesting. My wife and I were traveling and I had the air tag in my bag and I checked it. And I didn't know this until I traveled the first time with an air tag in my bag. If you get separated from the air tag, it will tell you, you know, the last time we saw your bag was, you know, at the airport. And you're like, whoa, did my bag not get on the airplane?
Right.
You know, so you want to make sure if you have something as sophisticated as an air tag that you set it up in such a way that it knows that your bag is traveling with you. And when you're distanced from the air tag, you just got to be aware that it doesn't signal anything too bad. Now, airlines also, many of them have bag tracking capabilities inside that mobile app that I mentioned earlier. So you can also do that as another level of confidence as it relates to your bag as well. And so it'll tell you, some airlines will tell you when it's checked, when it's on the airplane, when it's off, when it's on the carousel, those types of things. So that's why it's another really good reason to make sure that you have the airline's app, you know, downloaded on your phone if you have a smartphone.
Absolutely. So a lot of what we've talked about feels pretty smooth, right? You know, you get your ticket and that's all accessible. You're talking to a human or you do it through a website. You get to the airport and you've got your technology or your people who can assist you through all that. What about when things don't go so smoothly and something goes wrong? Maybe it's a plane delay or a gate change or you missed your connecting flight or whatever. No one wants that to happen. But are there any extra logistics that someone with vision loss should think about just to be prepared for that eventuality? And then what do you do when it happens? So you're not kind of caught like, uh-oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. After being in this industry for over 3 decades, I can tell you that no airline really wants irregular operations. One thing your listeners might not know is when an airline has a disruption, that means that not only do customers get disrupted, it means that the plane is not where the airline intended for it to be. The crew themselves is not where the airline intended for it to be.
Right.
Flight attendants, pilots, you know. And so all of those things were very disruptive for the airline. So just know, as much as customers don't like it, neither do we as airlines.
Right.
But, you know, they are unavoidable for sure. The most important thing, I think, that we've really already talked about this, probably the single most important thing that I think travelers should do is sign up for travel notifications with the individual airline.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the way that the airline can communicate to a lot of customers in real time about what's going on. If for whatever reason you don't believe your technology is serving you well, you want to immediately talk to an airline personnel.
Mm-hmm.
They always want to help you get rerouted where possible. And sometimes it's not always easy, by the way.
Right.
Rerouting customers can be very difficult for an airline just because there's so many disruptions that happen across the country. And when one airline's having a problem, in most cases, so is the other one because of what's happening at an airport in a particular city.
Right.
So if the technology is not serving you well, do make it a point to get in customer service line and talk to airport personnel and let them help you navigate a particular cancellation or delay.
That makes sense. So like making sure maybe that you're sitting next to the gate so that you know where the gate agent is, or is it better probably to talk with someone in person, or should people also have certain phone numbers programmed in to speak with someone that way? Which works better? Or maybe it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I'd say it's a combination of both. The customer care professionals that you'll talk to through chat or email or over the phone, they'll be willing to help you navigate as best you can. But airport personnel is there as well. If the lines are longer than you care to stand in, it might be helpful to reach out to the airline's customer care department. There's many of them over the phone that can, you know, help and assist. Most airlines will have capabilities for cancellations and delays where you can adjust your flight online.
Right.
For Southwest, and I believe this is true for most carriers, we try to make rebooking yourself after a disruption really, really fast and easy because we know those things are frustrating for customers. And so for Southwest, as an example, when we cancel or delay your flight after a period of time, we allow you the opportunity to make an adjustment right there inside the mobile app or on the website. And so that's always available. And in most cases, it's probably the easiest because you can look through your list of options. If you're traveling with a party, you can talk about, you know, where everybody needs to go. What is the timing? What does everything look like? And so you can kind of work on that together. But it allows you to look at all of your options at one time and spend the time that you need with it. You know, there's a long line that you waited. You feel like there's pressure behind
yes,
you to move
right.
on so they can help somebody else because that's how we are. You know, we just care for one another. But being inside of that mobile app allows you the opportunity to search for those things on your own.
That's great. Wow. We've really covered quite a lot. I feel like just a ton of tips and tricks and little things to think about maybe a little differently than you did before. If you're new to vision loss, or even if you've been traveling with vision loss for quite some time, maybe you've picked up a tip or two. As we wrap up, James, I'm wondering if there's anything you're hoping listeners will take from this. Maybe someone has been considering traveling and just putting it off because, man, it's a lot. You know, the airport's a bit chaotic at the best of times, and people feel that sense of trepidation or maybe I'm not ready. What would you say to listeners maybe in that situation?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. I think anyone who's nervous or has trepidation, I would encourage you to make maybe the first time you travel, maybe travel with somebody. If you're like me and there are airports that you frequent, I can assure you that you will have more confidence the more you go in and out of a particular airport. You'll just get familiar with the airport layout. You'll get familiar with the concessions. And when things are different, you'll recognize it. You'll be able to ask. I think that builds confidence. And so I would absolutely encourage your listeners to just try it. Give it a try. The other thing is Airlines for America. It's an organization that most airlines are a part of, and they work with the government to work on accessible air travel. The more our community travels and shares feedback, the better we as an industry become. I help more familiarization. The education and the experience will build confidence. And we all hope that, you know, you'll get out there and travel, and I can be of any assistance. I'm happy to do it.
That's great. I love that. And you're so right about building confidence. When you do it once, maybe something goes wrong. Maybe it goes perfectly smoothly. But either way, you made it to the other side and gives you just that much more motivation to try it again. Thank you so much, James. You've been just a wealth of information. I really appreciate your taking the time to chat and share that knowledge with us. And I hope that if you are listening and you've been on the fence about travel and maybe you're missing someone, you want to see your family or whatever it is, this will serve as that catalyst to say, hey, I think I could do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I totally agree with you, Ricky. It's glad to have been a part of the conversation today and look forward to maybe another time where we talk about maybe the next level of travel.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you.
Got something to say? Share your thoughts about this episode of Hadley Presents or make suggestions for future episodes. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at podcast@hadleyhelps.org. That's podcast@hadleyhelps.org. Or leave us a message at 847-784-2870. Thanks for listening.